This is a reading from the collected works of Rudolf Steiner, volume 16, 17. I'm reading the second part, entitled The Threshold of the Spiritual World. This is aphorism 5, titled The Astral Body and Luciferic Beings, The Nature of the Etheric Body. From the viewpoint of the spiritual world, we can observe, in addition to the Aramanic beings, spiritual beings of another kind at work. These beings have taken the sensory and elemental worlds as their chosen sphere of action. They are beings who wish to free the feeling soul completely from the sensory world, and in a certain sense to spiritualize it. Life in the sensory world belongs to the cosmic order. While the human soul lives in the sensory world, it undergoes a development appropriate to the sphere of its existence. That the soul is interwoven with the realm of the senses is an effect of the activity of beings that one meets in the world above. The beings who wish to tear the feeling soul from the conditions of sensory reality oppose this activity. These opposing beings will here be called the Luciferic beings. Hence, Luciferic beings have a mode of existence in the sensory world. In a certain way, they catch sight of everything that is ensouled or possessed of feeling, in order to draw it out of the sensory world and incorporate it in a cosmic region akin to their own nature. Viewed from the world above, the effects of these Luciferic beings is also noticeable in the elemental world. Within that, they strive to establish control over a domain of forces that they intend should not be touched by the weight of the sensory world, even though the nature of the world above prescribes that those forces should be woven into the sensory world. Aramanic beings stay within their bounds when, according to their function in the cosmic order, they cause only the temporary annihilation of existence. Similarly, Luciferic beings do not overstep the boundaries of their realm when they fill the feeling soul with forces that enable it to find the motivation to rise above the misfortunes of the sensory world and experience itself in relation to them as a free and independent being. But when Luciferic beings wish to create a special realm of the spirit, separate from the general order of the world above, when they wish to translate soul beings in the sensory world into this separate realm, then they do overstep their bounds. You can see how the activity of the Luciferic beings in the sensory world pushes in two directions. On the one hand, these beings must be thanked for the fact that human beings can raise themselves above the simple experience of sensible reality. It is not just the sensible world that fills us with joy and uplifts us. We can find pleasure and elation in what lives in appearance itself, in what transcends the sensory world as the phenomenon of beauty. Seen from this perspective, Luciferic activities have participated in all the important flowerings of culture, especially in the realm of art. Human beings can also live in free thinking. We are not limited to describing sensible things. Our thoughts need not reproduce things with photographic realism. We can also extend creative thinking beyond the sensory. We can philosophize. But an excess of Luciferic forces in the soul can be the source of much fantasy and confusion. In this connection, the soul may seek to unfold its activity without conforming to the conditions of higher cosmic order. Philosophizing without solid insight into the cosmic order, stubbornly thrashing around in arbitrary conceptions, excessive insistence on one's favorite adopted opinion, all of these constitute the shadow side of Luciferic activities. With its other self, the human soul belongs to the world above. but it is also part of existence in the world below. If we have undergone the proper preparation, supra-sensory consciousness can experience itself consciously in the world above. This does not change anything regarding the facts of our situation for supra-sensory consciousness. It only gives us conscious knowledge of what we know to be the case for every human soul. Every human soul belongs to the world above. But when human beings live in the sensory world, each soul is allocated a physical body, which is subject to the processes of that world. In addition, the soul is given a subtle, etheric body that lives within the processes of the elemental world. The powers of the Ahrimanic and Luciferic beings act upon the physical and the etheric bodies. Those powers are spiritual, supra-sensory in nature. To the extent that the human soul lives in the spiritual world above, it is what is known, if I may be permitted to use the expression, as an astral being. There are many reasons that justify using the expression astral being. For instance, the astral nature of the human being as such is not subject to the conditions effective within the sphere of the earth. Spiritual science recognizes that the laws that must be taken into consideration in the human astral being are not the earthly laws of nature, but the laws at work in the processes of the world of the stars. The use of the term astral body, therefore, seems justified. To the recognition of the physical sensory body and the subtle etheric body, therefore, we must now add a third human body, the astral body. In connection with its primal nature, the human astral body has its roots in the world above, that is, in the real spiritual realm. Within that realm, it is a being like others who have their sphere of activity in that spiritual world. To the extent that the elemental and sensory worlds are reflections of the spiritual world, we must consider the etheric and physical human bodies to be reflections of the human astral nature. However, in the etheric and physical bodies, forces derived from luciferic and Ahrimanic beings are at work. Since those beings are of spiritual origin, it is natural that we find in the physical and etheric bodies something of an astral nature. Indeed, students can easily mistake the astral element in the physical and etheric bodies for the actual astral body. Indeed, students can easily mistake the astral element in the physical and etheric bodies for the actual astral body. This is the result of a spiritual perspective that simply accepts the pictures of suprasensory consciousness and cannot understand their meaning. Yet this mistaken, quote-unquote, astral body is precisely the part of human nature that directs our actions against the lawfulness that truly fits human beings in the cosmic order. Misunderstandings and confusion in this area arise so easily because the attainment of knowledge of the astral nature of the soul is quite impossible for ordinary human consciousness. Nor is such knowledge attainable at the first stages of suprasensory consciousness. Consciousness of our true astral nature is attained only when we experience ourselves in our etheric bodies. For it is in the etheric body that we see the reflected image of our other self and the world above to which we belong. We see the etheric reflection of the astral body together with the luciferic and Ahrimanic beings it contains. Later aphorisms will show that the I that people in ordinary life consider to be their essence is not the true I, but a reflection of the true I in the physical world. From the viewpoint of the etheric reflection of the astral body can likewise produce an illusion of a real astral body. As a consequence of growing accustomed to the world above, suprasensory consciousness also gains true insight into how the world below reflects the world above in human beings. It becomes clear that the subtle etheric body, as people bear it in their present earthly existence, is not really the reflected image of what corresponds to it in the world above. It is altered by the activities of the luciferic and Ahrimanic beings. The spiritual archetype of the etheric body cannot fully reflect itself in us on earth because of the activity of the luciferic and Ahrimanic powers in terrestrial nature. When suprasensory consciousness travels beyond the earth to a sphere where a complete reflection of the primal image of the etheric body is possible, it finds itself before its present earthly state, before even its previous moon state, in a far distant past. For this we need to grasp how our present earth developed out of a moon stage, and how that moon stage developed out of a sun stage. In my book titled An Outline of Esoteric Science, I explain the use of the terms moon stage and sun stage. Prior to reaching its present stage of development, the earth was once at a sun stage, and it developed out of this into a moon stage, and then it became earth. During the sun stage, the human etheric body was a pure reflection of the spiritual processes and beings of the world of its origins. For supersensory consciousness, it is clear that those beings consist entirely of unalloyed wisdom. Thus we can say that during the sun period of the earth, in a far distant past, we received our etheric bodies as a pure reflection of cosmic wisdom beings. And during the following moon and earth periods, the etheric body changed to become what it now is in human nature. That is the end of aphorism 5. There is a following summary. Within us, we bear a psychic center to our being that belongs to a spiritual world. This center is our permanent human essence. It unfolds through repeated earthly lives. During one earthly life, it develops as an independent being within our ordinary consciousness. Then, following physical death, it lives in a purely spiritual world. After the appropriate amount of time, the results of that previous earthly life are reborn in a new earthly life. Because each earthly life follows as the consequence, founded in cosmic order, of the previous one, this permanent center becomes the inspirer of our destiny. Each human being is this permanent entity. We live in this entity as though it were another self. To the extent that as beings we are that other self, we live in an astral body just as we live in a physical and an etheric body. Just as the environment of the physical body is the physical world, and that of the etheric body is the elemental world, so the surroundings of the astral body are the spiritual realm. Beings of the same kind and origin as our other self act in the physical and the elemental worlds as Ahrimanic and luciferic powers. We can understand the relationship of our astral body to the etheric and physical bodies by observing how those powers act. The original source of the etheric body is to be sought for in a long past state of the earth, its so-called sun period. Schematically, we may observe within ourselves the following relations: A. The physical body in the physical sensible environment through which we recognize ourselves as independent beings, I. B. The subtle etheric body in the elemental environment, through which we recognize ourselves as a part of the body of earthly life, and thus indirectly as a part of a series of three sequential planetary states. C. The astral body in a pure spiritual environment, through which we are part of a spiritual world, of which the elemental and physical worlds are reflections. our other self, lies in that world and comes to expression through repeated earthly lives. And that is the end of aphorism 5 and the following summary.